Rolling.
Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 544, January 22nd, 2021. 51 degrees was the high on this date, and that occurred in 1942. And in 1936, on this date, it was 34 below. Oh, shoot, I forgot to look this up. On this date in 1982, 17.2 inches of snow. And what I wanted to look up, I'm willing to bet that in the distant reaches of my mind, what I'm remembering is that was a Super Bowl in Detroit that would have featured San Francisco. I'm going to bet San Francisco. Here, I'll look it up.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
1982 Super Bowl.
Okay.
1982 Super Bowl. It was at, I'm betting it was at the Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan. And I'm betting it was San Francisco. I want to say Cincinnati. I don't know if that's right or not. But I remember that I either left during that snowstorm or was told about it while I was in Detroit.
San Fran beats Cincy 26-21, January 24th.
God, my memory's amazing.
Yep. It's Pontiac
really
Silver Dome.
On the 24th.
Yep.
And this is the 22nd. So I must have... No, I was probably in Detroit 2 days prior to the game, obviously. And back home here, we were getting hammered with that 17 inches of snow on this day and then maybe some more in the following days. Thank you.
CP, have it all cleared away by the time you got home?
Yeah, there's more to that story. Let's get into that after we start.
Okay. Then I have to go up and get my weather calendar.
From the mayor's office above the boathouse.
I remember a phone call.
On the east shore of Spoon Lake. It's Garage Logic with Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
I don't know what there's to get into. It's just that I'm applauding my own memory.
If I remember right, this might not be the same incident. You were out of town. She called you in the middle of a blizzard, complaining about being stuck in an alley, and you gave her the business. You jumped on her and yelled at her and made her feel bad.
No, no, I probably was very, very understanding
and
kind.
Yes, dear.
I remember she got a car stuck in the alley. I was in Chicago. That would have been Chicago and the Blackhawks and the Wild in a playoff game, and that had to be about 83.
All right.
Because by 84, I was kicked out of the Tribune. So it could have been 82 even, 82 or 83. But I do remember that the Super Bowl was in the Silver Dome in 82, San Francisco and Cincinnati, and there was just one hell of an accumulation of snow back here on the tundra.
Did the CP want you to come home and pull her out of the alley? Or
no, I wouldn't have. I would have said, get Chet next door. He'll get you free up there.
Okay.
Got a guy.
Are you guys familiar with the phrase alley captain?
Yes, very much so.
Only because of you and St. Paul.
Yeah, I was the alley captain a few times. When you have to go around and collect the $20 from all the people on either side of the alley. It was a thankless task, but I wore a uniform. I was kind of like the Surgeon General. And a little hat. And
a little skipper protector. Cap.
Yeah. I had the hat with the boat steering wheel on it. And some.
Did you have one of those chrome change things on the front of your belt so you could make change?
No, but I did adorn my coat with Winter Carnival medals. And I would go around and say, hey, Mrs. Swanson, you owe me $20 here. You
know. What would happen with the people that didn't pay? You can't really go around them, can you?
Yeah,
everybody paid. Everybody paid.
Instead, like, well, you know.
No,
I don't have any cash right now, but.
No.
Come on in.
No.
Let's talk. Let's negotiate.
No.
Need to use my bathroom?
Okay, Harry.
But it was a thankless task because if the plow jockey so much as knocked a brick loose on somebody's, you know, alley retaining wall,
right,
it was the alley captain who had to take care of it. So I would get calls and say, you got to call that guy. He nicked my brickwork back there, and okay, I'll get hold of him.
Because the plower wasn't giving out his phone number, I would imagine.
Well, but the alley captain, But the alley captain had the phone number.
Right.
See, that was one of the benefits of being the captain. Hail the Flashlight King and his band of merry men and dogs.
Hail you.
Hail you.
Larry and Catherine. Joe, one of the highlights of my day, don't judge me, is starting out my real commute from my house to my delivery station and from there to my delivery route, all the while listening to you and the guys. But as of lately, I've noticed something. In the past, I could get to my delivery route and I'd be able to make about 10 minutes of deliveries by the time the podcast ends. As of lately, though, I've noticed that I'm not making it to my delivery route before the podcast ends for the day. Is it just me, or is the podcast getting shorter? Loyal listener Kelly in North Carolina. Well, that what that tells me, Kelly, is you've got one hell of a long commute from your house to wherever you're going to start your deliveries. Because the show's never shorter than an hour and 10, and usually it's an hour 20 or an hour 30.
What but it tells me, Joe, is that Kelly has finally figured out how to do the job and is completing it in a timely manner. So he's finally got the job done.
That's very good. And that's
still doing.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me. John writes, Hail the Flashlight King.
Hail you.
On January 21st, you were discussing President Biden's revocation of the Keystone Pipeline permits. The one thing your discussion failed to do was follow the money. The revocation has absolutely nothing to do with foreign policy, environmental policy, labor policy. It has everything to do with money. As you mentioned, it costs $10 to $15 per barrel to transport crude by rail. A majority of the Canadian oil on its way to the Gulf Coast travels on BNSF trains. BNSF is fully owned subsidiary of Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway is the investment holding company started by Warren Buffett. Buffett, who happens to be one of the largest donors to the Democratic National Committee, currently owns 151,600 shares of Berkshire Hathaway. At the market close on January 21, 2021, Berkshire Hathaway stock had increased in value by $1,199 per share.
Whoa.
So Mr. Buffett made an excess of $1.6 billion on President Biden's decision to kill the Keystone Pipeline. Do we need to look any further? Welcome back to the swamp, John Thorpe. I did know that Warren Buffett had a heavy stake in the BNSF railroads.
Our source, our mutual friend, did point that out to us. He didn't say anything, but he provided us with a document of all the shareholders of Hathaway.
Right, and it's Bill Gates and a variety of them. And,
yep.
It's just a shame. It's just a shame. Let's stick with power, should we? This is written by Nikola Tesla. He would prefer that we don't use his real name because he's in the industry.
Ah, Nikolai?
Yeah. Hail the Flashlight King.
Hail you.
Hail you.
I read yesterday that Governor Walz and the DFL are announcing plans for the state of Minnesota to be powered 100% by clean, carbon-free energy by 2040. We're going to get to that today. Of course, all the Euphorians and Liberal Lakes and Diversityville people applaud this move, but let me offer some counterpoints. In Minnesota, only hydroelectric power plants up to 100 MW, I think that's megawatts, are counted as clean energy. Minnesota gets a decent amount of power from our neighbors to the north in Manitoba, and much of this is hydroelectric transmitted from the northern part of the Manitoba, where there are several large plants much larger than 100 MW. Number two, the technology to make our state 100% carbon-free 100% of the time does not exist yet. Much of the electric industry considers the solution to be the smart grid, with small-scale solar and batteries scattered throughout the communities rather than large-scale power plants. Problem with that is, where do we come up with the additional materials for those solar panels and batteries? They don't want to mine near the boundary waters, so is the solution overseas? Bottom line is that most people won't think twice about this until we have rolling brownouts because we simply can't count on the wind blowing or the sun shining. I'm all for new technologies and figuring out different ways to generate power, but simply making a mandate based on technology that isn't practical yet doesn't make sense. Invest in research and development, but just don't make a mandate. Powering the pushback, Nikola Tesla. It's a great point. It's a great point. None of these mandates, by the way, have anything to do with the environment. Nothing.
I hope I'm still stuck on Rookie's client. I want those guys to come up and set me up because I want to sell power back to the power company. I want those chuckleheads to write me a check.
Which is very possible. That can't.
And I don't want batteries. I don't want to power myself. I want to continue on the grid, but I want a check. I don't care if it's for $5 or $5 million. Give me a check.
Do you Euphorians understand the amount of copper and nickel that is required for this kind of thinking?
No, they don't, Joe. No.
Really,
and the process to get it, which is very foul.
And it's very more injurious than getting petroleum.
Yeah.
Much more injurious.
Yep.
Governor Walz, this is the front page today of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Governor Walz is again pushing for zero-emission clean electricity and setting tougher goals this time after an earlier effort finalized in the Minnesota legislature amid Republican opposition, failed amid Republican opposition. The governor's call for 100% carbon-free electricity by 2040 is the focus of a set of climate change proposals his office issued yesterday as it works to get Minnesota on track to hit its targets for cutting greenhouse gas emissions. The state's latest inventory of emissions shows that as a whole, Minnesota is already far behind those goals. The time to fight climate change is now, Walz said in a news release. It's not a fight. You're fighting an imaginary foe.
Mm-hmm.
He called the shift away from fossil fuels to renewable energy the right and responsible choice and one that will grow the economy.
It'll grow the economy, Joe, but first we're going to lose thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs.
Well, what the new scam is that the left says, if you follow our vision to create carbon-free energy, that will be producing new jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll be creating new jobs. What are you going to do, mine nickel and copper with your new jobs?
Tell that to the men and women who just got laid off.
Mm-hmm. The three other bills aligned with the governor's proposal are to follow, including one that Walz's office said would set a state goal of cutting greenhouse gases from buildings, residential, commercial, and industrial, in half by 2035. Representative Jamie Long, DFL Minneapolis, author of the clean energy proposal, said he's hopeful they can engage the Republican-controlled Senate on the climate change measures. I think the conservation has come a long way. In 2 years, Long said, the speed of change in clean energy is remarkable. All right. I'm going to share the sentiment of Nikola Tesla. I am not opposed to new technology, but it's not there yet. It's not there yet. This is whimsical.
Do it where it makes sense.
This is arbitrary. This is whimsical. The rollout of Walz's climate change package follows last week's grim report from the state pollution regulators that Minnesota is far off track to meet the emissions reductions lawmakers set in the 2007 Next Generation Act under Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty. The state is supposed to cut global warming emissions 30% by 2025 from 2005 levels. So far, they have dropped just 8%. Most of that drop has come from utilities, which have made great strides in slashing greenhouse gases from electricity generation by taking coal plants offline and investing in solar and wind energy. Yet Minnesota has failed to make meaningful cuts in nearly every other sector, such as transportation and agriculture. Did you note, by the way, that the Powerball winner was that we talked about a little yesterday, that struggling little coal town in Maryland?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it couldn't have fallen into better hands because right. they're being politicked out of their jobs.
Well, like Kenny said, en masse, the wind panels they're not efficient. On a smaller scale, like the guys over at LivewireSolarMN.com, thanks for the plug, Kenny. Yeah. Those guys, on a household or a business, it makes sense. But for the entire government to change the climate, that doesn't work.
Well, they can't. We humans cannot change the climate. We cannot.
And one thing that the governor isn't bringing up, and that maybe some people don't actually realize, these power companies are already converted. You know, I've been driving 94 since it opened in the 70s, and 94 now is lined with solar farms, the same way I-90 down on the south side of the state is aligned with wind farms. Mm-hmm. And these companies are all doing their best to stay ahead of the curve, but it's not as simple, Joe, as just unplugging coal power and then plugging in solar power. Like you said, you have to change the whole infrastructure, the whole grid, everything. You know, it's not that easy.
Of course not.
And the governor's not giving any credit to these people that are already working on it. He's just barking out orders like usual and then placing blame so he doesn't take any heat.
The state's two largest public utilities have already indicated they're on board with the governor's proposals, although the expedited time frame could be a challenge. Electricity generation is the one sector that's been successful in making significant cuts in greenhouse gases. Minnesota Power, for example, announced this fall that it has cut its global warming emissions by 50%. The utility, which serves northeast and central Minnesota, aims to be 100% carbon-free by 2050, a time frame that's 10 years longer than what Walz requested. I think what else that needs to be recognized is that, you know, people who run power companies are not evil people. I hate to see this set up as a contumely between liberal-thinking governments and power companies, which are thought of as monopolistic, greedy bastards who just want to keep making money and not adhere to the wishes of the politicians. That's not the case at all. Look at what we just read about Minnesota Power. It's like the automobile manufacturers in Detroit. They got way ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. The power companies are ahead of the curve, mm-hmm. and they're doing the best they can. They're not out to be the enemy of the people.
No, they're providing a major service to keep people alive.
Joe, I would guess that 2050 date that they have in mind, I don't think they're trying to prolong evil. I would just assume that that's how long it's going to take them to make the full switch, right?
Yeah, they can't perform miracles.
I like the fact that unplug the coal and then plug in, like it's a flip of the it's got the big on-off switch. That
you go to that big switch on the wall, that one?
Yes. Yeah. Right next to the oversized red and silver magnet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Every summer on 169, on the occasion I drive up to the Brainerd Lakes area, I see one windmill. It's between Elk River and Princeton. That damn thing couldn't power a toaster. It's never running. It couldn't power a toaster.
They make those small enough down to power your RV, and I've got a neighbor that has one that he powers his home or shop or whatever, and I stopped outside of his place one day when it was running. Boy, that thing is noisy. That thing is really noisy. Ooh. I might skip on the wind power thing.
Biden has made it completely clear that he will rescind every single thing Trump had to do with energy and the environment. Every single thing. Because he is, I'm beginning to understand that despite my wishes for him to hold strong and hold steadfast, he is really in the grip of an environmental movement who thinks that humankind, especially American humankind, are destroying Earth, which is not the case. But you can't preach to them because this is their theology. And I can't for the life of me understand what they think. The vanity involved alone is beyond my comprehension. I'm looking outside now, and it's beyond my consciousness to think that I can do anything to affect that beautiful sky and the wind and the snow and the ice, or in the summer, the warm winds and the green grass. That's not us.
Right.
That's the Earth. The Earth doesn't give a bleep what we do.
Yeah. You know what? I personally have not had a tire fire in about 20 years. So leave me alone. I stopped burning tires 20 years ago.
Well, I've never had one. And
oh, they're wonderful, Joe.
They no, they're not. They stink and they're horrible.
Yeah, but yeah, you don't have the tire anymore. That's the great part.
It's a lot of smoke.
But you look at, I'm so amused every time a volcano erupts and you see the miles of ash powered into the sky, and yet we're going to try to have a little coal plant in Minnesota taken offline because we're worried about it. Are you kidding me? This is insanity. It's insanity. We can't change the climate. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't do anything.
You shouldn't dump oil in the back. We don't beyond that.
GLers are conservationists by their intrinsic values. We don't spill gas on the ground. We don't waste oil. We, Kenny's case, stopped burning tires. He should have been arrested 20 years ago and still be in prison for that. But
City incinerators. That's a
thing
gone,
Rook. Long gone, thing Rook. Well, long gone.
Downtown Minneapolis, we do have the garbage burner.
Yep.
Okay, so the government makes an exception for themselves.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just don't know why carbon free is a panacea. Carbon has served humankind very well. It has served life expectancy on the rise, achievement and poverty levels down. Carbon has served the world well. I continue to appreciate the miracle of the amount of energy in 1 gallon of gasoline. It's all brilliant stuff. It's all brilliant.
It's amazing.
And we're demonizing it. And we don't need to demonize it. We need to be aware. We need to be diligent. We need to be conservative. If everyone had the attitude of last droppers, we'd be fine because we get the last drop out of everything we use, and we're careful. We're not some lady from the EPA who comes out onto the lawn of a bureaucratic building in Washington, D.C. and attempts to start a lawnmower every spring so the Washington Post can print a headline saying that lawnmower uses as much fuel as 14 caravans of trucks going from California to New York. Are you kidding me? Or no, puts as much carbon in the air.
You've said it so many times in the last couple of years. Gas engine technology in the last 10 years has just, it's been leaps and bounds. It's amazing what they're doing these days.
To the point where I'm angry because I can't even smell a car anymore.
You can't. You're right.
Oh, like a 1981 Ford F-150 going by, and it's got that...
Yeah, and if you do smell anything, it's the crummy exhaust coming out of a 1972 Honda Civic with 14 bumper stickers on the back saying coexist.
I was marveling last weekend when I was down there. The changes that I've seen since I moved down to Minneapolis full-time in the early 80s with the buses. Remember those big red buses? You could hear them coming from a block away. You could hear them a block after they'd gone by, and you'd smell them for about 10 minutes afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. And if you had to drive next to one with an open window or on a motorcycle, you pass out. It was awful. And now they're virtually silent. And it's the same thing with the airplanes, the airline. When I moved into South Minneapolis, you know, it was every 2 seconds another loud Northwest or North Central or whoever Republic was going over. And now they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Isaac Orr, a policy fellow at the Center of the American Experiment, panned the governor's initiatives in a statement saying they will drive up energy prices, reduce the reliability of the grid, and still probably fall short of the goals he is setting. Well, of course they will. Mm. The experts in the field are telling you, we're not opposed to your thinking, but you've put the cart ahead of the horse. We're not ready for it. They're the experts. Walls is not an expert. He's a fourth grade school teacher, whatever the hell he is. He's not the expert.
I had a thought. It might be a faulty thought. That's why you're here, to talk me off the ledge. Is this or is this not akin to John F. Kennedy saying, we will go to the moon by the end of the decade? Because the technology wasn't there in 61 or whenever he said that.
I don't find it analogous, and I'm going to attempt to explain why I don't. Going to the moon could be diagrammed and mathematically graphed out on a piece of paper. Going to the moon could involve mathematicians who knew jet propulsion. Things could be measured. Things could be estimated. Realistically, to get to the moon, we need so much horsepower of jet propulsion, and we can create that with this kind of turbo action in the rocket ship. Okay, now we've got the rocket launch. What do we need? And they could plot it all out. It was material that could be measured. That's totally different than just whimsically and arbitrarily saying, we're going to get the temperature to be back to what it was pre-industrial times. How? What can you measure? Show me your achievement. What can you graph out? How can you bring that about? You can't. You can't. JFK proposed something that was terribly realistic because people in various fields could identify it, measure it, and make it happen. That is not the same as how you must deal with the changing climate. The best way to deal with the changing climate is to accept the fact that the climate has always changed, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. You can take carbon out of the atmosphere, and we don't even know what the result of that will be. You don't even know. There's no way to graph that. There's no way to measure it. There's no way to put a slide rule on it. I didn't know it was going to be this good.
No, that's a great point, because you're right. That going to the moon has an endpoint. That's too much fuel. That's not enough. We need air.
Exactly. It has an endpoint.
Right.
It has a mileage distance. How do we get from Cape Canaveral to the moon? You have two defined points, start and end. And now you have the mathematicians and the scientists filling in the blanks in the middle. That's not the way it is with the climate. There's nothing to measure. There's no beginning point and end point.
Right. How do you know when you've made it? How do you know? Because the climate keeps changing. Mm-hmm. All right, we're at 71 now. Okay, not anymore, because it keeps changing.
I'm glad you brought up the moonshot. And Kennedy was right. It was done, and Kennedy brought it up. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But you're bringing up great points,
yep,
too.
Appreciate it.
Kennedy said we'll do it within a decade, and he was right. It was done in 1969.
Yeah.
It happened. Think of all the amazing things that humans have created.
I do all the time. I'm amazed constantly.
But think of them in contrast, or try to make them analogous to the effort to change nature.
Yeah.
You can't.
Right. Native Americans learned that a long time ago, although they still, did the rain dance. But, sometimes it happens, sometimes it didn't.
I want to invent a telephone, said Alexander Graham Bell. Okay, what do I do? I need a transmission line, which is wire. And I need... I'm not even skilled in it.
What else do you need, Joe? Let me go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, you need
digitize the voice. He's the one that invented the microphone. Mm-hmm. And the microphone was invented for the telephone.
But they are measurable dynamics. They are pieces of paper where you can plot out how you get from point A to point B. Governor Walz, God bless him, telling me that we're going to be carbon free by 2050. No, we won't be. And B, so what? What is that going to result in? You have no idea. None.
Mm-hmm.
If the climate didn't change, we wouldn't be here. We would be under 100 feet of ice if the climate didn't change.
Wow. Just think of all the stuff that humans have. I mean, you go way back to a castle in 1400, somebody had to design that castle. Somebody had to design a huge boat, a wooden boat, to go across this ocean that they didn't know where they were going. I mean, yes, we've created some great stuff, but we are limited. We can't
look at the
nature.
Go along the Mississippi River between the Marshall Avenue Bridge and the Ford Bridge, and look at that tremendous gouge in the earth on both sides.
Yeah, or Ford up to downtown Minneapolis. Yeah. Ford up to 35W. Yeah.
That was climate change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they didn't dredge that out? I thought
the big city of Minneapolis dump truck
came through, and here we go.
It's just so frustrating to me because I know so clearly that this has nothing to do with the environment.
But what does it do? Make us feel better? It makes them, not us.
Doesn't make me feel better. But this four-year administration, we will see endless examples of President Biden really embracing this as one of his top priorities, if not the top priority.
So let me get this straight then.
You've got a 24-year-old bartender who's leading, however old Occasional Cortex is. She has no more idea of the climate or nature than your pet. Nothing. Neither do I. Neither do I. But the difference between me and her is I acknowledge that.
So go back to the pipeline. So what they're saying is, and by the way, she is 31.
Okay.
So what they're saying is, a pipeline, they don't want the pipeline because there may be a potential leak somewhere, which would be horrible, correct?
Right.
That's only part of it, Matthew. They hate carbon emissions, and the pipe and the crude and all of that leads to carbon emissions.
Because ultimately it will be gas going into your car.
Right.
Okay,
right.
But every...
The leak stuff is just the Native Americans care about that, and you know, who
Given,
can blame them?
Given, yeah, I completely agree with that. But yeah. The engines that are going to be hauling this oil or whatever it is.
Here you go. Keep going. You know what they're doing, Joe?
Are you going to say and so forth?
And so, no, they are spewing and so forth. Spewing. They are spewing right through.
Yes.
There's no electric train.
Yes.
It wouldn't make it up the hill.
But let's just back off a minute. Isn't it a slap in the face to the engineers and technicians building the pipeline, and for you to doubt it and condemn it and deny it, isn't that tantamount to saying you people don't know what you're doing? And they sure as hell do know what they're doing. And it's cheaper and faster and safer than Warren Buffett's trains.
And if you ask me, it's such a slap in the face. You tell the men and women that were laid off on Wednesday because of his directive. You tell those folks what they said, that we're going to create, you know, and I'm talking thousands and thousands of workers who now are not working. You tell them, but we're creating jobs. There's going to be jobs, and you're all.
What are the jobs?
Well, how are they going to pay the mortgage next month, you dumb jackasses? Right. How are they going to put food on their family? You know, how's the baby going to eat?
Right. You want to beat the man? You want to beat the man when it comes to gasoline prices?
I do.
Get to EcoFun Motorsports in downtown Forest Lake, and you straddle one of their electric bikes, or you get a little gas-powered scooter that gets about 70 miles to the gallon and turns every urban errand into an adventure, and you've beaten those evil petroleum giants.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Tim, up at EcoFun, they're kicking off 2021 with the great sale prices of the year, so you'll be ready in the spring. The Bentelli e-bikes, the scooters, full line of Yamaha products, great recreational equipment for kids, youth snowmobiles, youth ATVs, helmets, apparel, great service department. And when you call EcoFun, you're going to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about. You're either going to talk to Tim or his daughter, Kayla. And they'll answer any question you have. And they'll answer the phone if they're not busy delivering a bike, because that's another thing. You come up there from Edina or Chanhassen or wherever, and you buy a new bike and you can't fit it into your Prius, they'll get it to you. They'll get it to you.
You mean just like Robert, who came in and picked out a new Bentelli Trend electric bike after hearing about EcoFun Motorsports on the Garage Logic podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy riding this coming summer, and thanks again for your business. So they're well aware the GLers are continuing. This was a post on Instagram that came in about 4 hours ago. So
really?
Nice job, Robert.
EcoFun is 612-321-8867 or go to EcoFunMotorsports.com. What a great array of electric bikes. Fat tire electric bikes, thin tire electric bikes. Biking is taking the world by storm. You might as well enjoy the benefits of that electric assist. It's just absolutely fascinating. And all winter long, here in the middle of the sustainable urban core, I've seen people riding fat tire electric bikes over these icy moguls in the city of St. Paul. It's EcoFun Motorsports. It's on Highway 61 right in downtown Forest Lake.
Here's a man who barks like his own wind tunnel. Here's Joe Souchere.
It's a wonderful product in a world of bad gas, and Seafoam engine treatment is made for you, rookie. Matthew, I'm talking to you.
I have used this product.
Oh, good, because I often make the mistake of thinking that Seafoam, it's for guys like me and Such. We need it. We use it. We're all well-schooled and experienced with it. But Mr. Mikulski, to quote you, if you're not using it, you're doing it wrong. And here's the deal. Seafoam High Mileage, they make a special treatment for high-mileage vehicles. It's specifically designed for you and mine. You own high-mileage vehicles, right?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, well, so do I. You don't have a lot of cash on hand to get those jalopies serviced, right?
You've seen my bank account?
Yeah, again, no harm, Matthew. Same here. But, so that means we need these babies to run good, the injectors to stay clean and happy, and reduce long-term engine wear, and most importantly, keep it out of the shop. You got to do what I did. I did it just 2 days ago. I dumped in a whole can right into my gas can, and you can also add it
to
the
oil. Wait a minute. That's beautiful. I do use it. I have it in my snowblower, and it's one pull start. It's a great Honda. Joe told me to put Seafoam when it's out of season. I have not thought about putting it in my car.
Oh yeah. It's brilliant. And not only that,
go get it today.
You dump it in the gas cap, or you can even put it in with the oil. You know where the oil filler cap is,
710?
Right? Please?
Yeah, 710.
It's under
the where I put the oil. 710, it's called.
You'll prevent the common causes of burning oil up and all of that. I'll explain it further, but I know you're already
listening. Wait a minute.
Listening.
I can put it in the oil thing?
If you can find it, Matthew.
710, or if it's upside down, it says OIL. If it's upside down, it's 710.
See the text I just sent you, Rook?
Yeah.
You're dummy. You're so dumb. The great thing is, Matthew, you can pick this stuff anywhere. And by anywhere, I mean virtually everywhere. Obviously, auto parts stores, but also hardware, convenience stores, gas stations. I've even seen it in grocery stores, and they're nationwide. Dare I say it? You know what? I am going to say it.
Nationwide.
Seafoam is global, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere means everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's a wonderful product in a world of bad gas. It's Seafoam.
And don't kid yourself that you're off the hook if you live in a warm climate.
Right.
If it's idle, it's idle, right?
That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
That's it.
And we're already receiving correspondence from GLers. I'm going to read a few of those next week, and I'm really looking forward to it. Some cool letters so far.
Allow me some personal indulgence here that's fairly off topic for Garage Logic.
Okay.
But Hank Aaron has died.
Yep.
He's died at the age of 86. I've always loved the guy. A lot of times I ended up looking at athletes and trying to determine if they had any vulnerability in their eyes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. A lot of athletes, especially a lot of black athletes, considering what they've put up with in their youth and whatever, they seem to turn a little bit cold to the world, and they develop an iciness that's a mask for their hurting. And Hank had the vulnerable eyes, and also the author of one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard in sports, and that's after he hit the 715th home run in Atlanta in April of 1974. His mother was on hand, and she went out to home plate and hugged him, and the guys were asking him about that, and he said, "I never knew my mother could hug so tight." And I thought that was one of the greatest. I remember everything about that home run. He hit it into the bullpen in Atlanta, and it dropped in front of a sign, an advertising sign that said, "Think of it as money," which is ironic because Hank wasn't that type of guy. He wasn't he wasn't anticipating turning his 715th home run into a lucrative marketing campaign. And I believe it was caught by a guy named Tom House, a relief pitcher. And in any event, he could not hide how hurt he was from what he heard through the years. Mm-hmm. He kept every letter he ever received. He kept every, no matter how vile, and he would read and reread them. And his daughter has confirmed his death to Atlanta TV. It was April 8th, 1874, when he passed Babe Ruth. He was known as one of the true gentlemen of the sport. And he is a great quote here from the New York Post. "I don't think too many people got a chance to know me through the years, and that was something that was my own doing. Because I'm actually kind of a loner, a guy that has stayed to himself." He told that to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in 2006. "A lot of people thought they knew me, but they really didn't. They pretended that they knew me, but I travel alone. I do just about everything alone. Jeez. I have associates, but I don't have many friends. I would just want to be remembered as somebody who just tried to be fair with people." He was born in Alabama, of course. He went into the Hall of Fame in 1982. His 2,297 RBIs are still the most in the history of the sport. I'm sure Patrick will have more to add today. We're joined by Patrick today, aren't we, Rook?
Yes, I will send him out a text.
Do you have the call of that home run by any chance?
The only thing that makes it better that...
Is it Vin Scully?
Yeah, is that okay. It's Vin Scully doing the call. Here we go.
The crowd booing. Downing has to ignore the sound effects and stay a professional and pitch his game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
How do you not get the chills?
I can see it right now. You see him running the bases?
Now they're lifting him up at home plate.
What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world.
I just saw him a hug by his mom.
A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south.
I don't get a lump in your
for
throat.
Breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. He threw his arms around his father, and as he left the home plate area, his mother came running across the grass, threw her arms around his neck, kissed him for all she was worth. As Aaron circled the bases,
I was being mobbed by photographers.
The Dodgers on the infield shook his hand, and that was a memorable moment. Aaron is being mobbed by photographers. He is holding his right hand high in the air, and for the first time in a long time, that poker face of Aaron shows the tremendous strain and relief of what it must have been like to live with for the past several months. It is over. At 10 minutes after 9 in Atlanta, Georgia, Henry Aaron has eclipsed the mark set by Babe Ruth.
Hmm. Wow.
Did you note, this was 1974, but I'm old enough to think that 1974 seems like a blink of an eye ago. It was yesterday. And Scully acknowledged that here in the deep south, Aaron was applauded for beating the home run of Babe Ruth.
Jeez. Joe,
and it just...
What was the booing that he referred to?
I think
to?
They were booing the pitcher. I mean, they were so anticipatory of who were they playing, Rook? Were they playing Cincinnati?
The Dodgers.
Dodgers. I think they were booing the pitcher because they just were so anticipatory of Hank getting the... They wanted to be there when Hank got the 715th. They weren't. This was at home. They were not booing Aaron.
And it was the first pitch that I don't know who the I can't see who the pitcher was, but it was a it was in the dirt. Mm-hmm. So it was 1-0, so they were probably saying, come on, pitch to him, let's see what happens. Yeah,
so the pitch that he hit the ball on, was that a cookie or was that a real pitch?
No, well, it was a fastball right down the middle. He's trying to beat him.
Yeah, it was a real pitch.
Wow.
And Tom House, if you verify this rookie, Tom House must have been a relief pitcher for the Dodgers.
Yeah, he was in the bullpen.
I think he caught the ball.
Yeah, because he went right.
And I believe he made certain that he delivered it to Aaron, obviously.
And what was the story with the two guys that came on the base paths? Were they just guys? Remember that greeted him after rounding second base, and he kind of poo-pooed him away?
I don't know. I'd have to look at it.
Didn't Vince say they were photographers?
No, these guys didn't have cameras. They were just – I think they were just out of the stands.
Yeah, I'm sure people tried to get on the field.
Oh, and look at the comments underneath, Joe. It's funny that you put that out. One of the comments in quotes is, a black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep South.
In 1974, which, again, seems like yesterday to me.
Yeah.
But he took all of that pain, and he kept it inside him.
Well, look at even Scully said that about, he said that about him as well. What did he say about his face, or he had his guard down, or whatever
it
was.
Right.
After he hit the home run, but yeah, his mom.
But
gave
look
him
at
squeeze.
Look at pictures of him, and look at his eyes. He did not turn cold to the world, but he turned cold inward. His eyes were vulnerable to the world. Lyman Bostock, the late great, he had terribly vulnerable eyes. I've talked about this before. A lot of athletes. They were able to create a mask. I don't think Michael Jordan, for example, had vulnerable eyes. I think he was able to put up a mask. I think Tiger Woods, to a certain extent, displays some vulnerability in his eyes. And by that I mean they're aware of a larger world around them. And in Aaron's case, he was aware of a larger world around him and kept wondering, why are they hurting me? Why do they write me letters? I don't know. I've always had a soft spot for the guy.
How can you not?
Mm-hmm. Played with Milwaukee, then went with the Braves to Atlanta, and just had one of the most beautiful swings in all of baseball. We'll rejoin this when Patrick joins us. I believe at 1 o'clock, Rook.
Yes, I've texted him.
We can rejoin this, but I'm gonna miss him. I just felt the world about the guy. And
did you ever meet him?
Yeah, I covered. I would see him. You know, I didn't know him, obviously, personally.
Right.
I just found him to be a Greek tragedy in a certain respect. You know, why are these people hurting me? Why are they writing me letters? And he kept the damn letters.
Wow. You'd think you'd want to separate yourself from them and just
thousands of
throw
them.
The
thousands
hurt away.
And thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And he would revisit them. Trying to understand, I think, what in the bleep is going on here.
Well, that's just I'm likening it to the morons that stormed the Capitol. How can you have that much hate in your body? And then how can you have that much, you know, back in 73, 74, how can you have that much hate for an athlete that has their craft perfected and is successful, and you want him to go away or be lynched, killed, or whatever stupid thing is in your mind, that you would go so far as to write a letter to tell him that?
I got news for you, Crackers. Hammer and Hank had a hell of a lot better swing than Babe Ruth and was facing much better pitching, okay?
Got it.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do,
Crackers? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know what she's got on tap tonight. I'm hoping I can convince her that we got to take in another Red Savoy pizza.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's the original recipe.
You're
from
doing
1965.
It wrong.
I'm not doing
if you're
it
not,
wrong.
Just double sausage. You're
no,
doing it
I
wrong.
The,
double
I,
sausage.
I had there was sausage on there and pepperoni. Red's house special. Don't tell me I'm doing it wrong.
Red's does it right, but you, Joe, you're doing it all wrong.
No, and that recipe, soda style, since 1965, SOTA, cut in squares. That recipe is at every Red Savoy location. Every single one. It's the one that Red Schoenheider passed down to the new guy, Reed Daniels, and told him, under no uncertain terms will you screw up this recipe. It can't
that.
Be done.
Love
it
that.
Can't be done. And now you can get it all over the Twin Cities. You're in for a treat if you haven't had Red Savoy. Apple Valley, Blaine, Burnsville, Eagan, Eden Prairie, Edina, Hugo, Lakeville opening next month, Osseo, Roseville, St. Louis Park, downtown St. Paul in the Treasure Island building where the Wild train, White Bear Avenue in St. Paul on Snelling, Vadnais Heights, and Woodbury. Do yourself a favor, too. Download the Red Savoy app. That's R-E-D-apostrophe-S. It's Red Savoy. Download the app or visit SavoyPizza.com and get rewards like free cheese bread and free pizza on your birthday, access to happy hour pricing. It's just the best. It really is. Don't keep telling me I don't know how to order a Red Savoy pizza.
I despise
you
that.
Did you did this last week. You told me this.
I despise that you talk about pizza while we're recording this at 5 minutes to one. I am I'm hangry. The pains. I can picture
you're
the
hangry,
Red Savoy
aren't you?
Pizza right now. And you know what? That's the kind of pizza that when you go get it to takeout, you don't wait till you get home. You no. open that sucker up, and you're two pieces in and say, oh, my gosh, they didn't give us two pieces.
They shorted us.
As you got red sauce all the way down your throat.
I'm trying to think, Rook, what's the closest one to you, downtown St. Paul?
There's one in Cottage Grove, correct? Let me look. But
no, there's not.
The last time that I've gone to Red Savoy was the old Dairy Queen on Snelling.
That's where I go. Garris. That's my store.
That's the last time I purchased, and it was for lunch.
Well, then get
fabulous.
Your ass over there because they're waiting for you.
All right. Double sausage, bras.
New tagline for Red Savoy.
Yeah. Get your ass over there because they're waiting for you.
Amen to that.
Yeah. We're going to be back with Patrick Royce Sports in just a moment. Well, let's go.
Before you hit the music, he'll say, let's go. It's Joe Souchere, the bad waiter.
The sun came up today, and DK Mags opened at 10 o'clock, and to quote Such, I actually wrote it down, get your ass over there. They're waiting for you.
Love that.
If DK Mags is open, that means all is well here in Gumption County. It and Monticello Pawn and Gun, they are our... That's not
that
easy
a boy.
To say.
You can
they
do it. Fool me.
Are our
fool
armory.
Me once.
There.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame on. Fool, anyway, DK
fool,
Mags, they've been
fooled again.
Offering fair prices. Pretty good selection of firearm suppressors, magazines.
What do they sell,
the
mags?
Goodies.
Is it like Teen Beat or People? What kind of mags do they sell?
They're up on Old 8 and New Brighton since 1999. The website. Everything you need right there, dkmags.com. Free shipping on everything you can find on there. The inventory, of course, always changing. But my latest deal, and I'm kind of sneaking around, my son, I hope he's not listening. I've been looking for a Walther PPK 380 for him, and that's the one I'd have them order for me if I had the funds. It's a special order deal, but they're no big deal with dkmags.com. They'll get it in, call us up, we'll go up, do the paperwork, and bing, bang, boom, you're out of there. Guns, boy, they're fun. And I seem to be collecting the fun ones instead of the guns I probably should be. Anyway, if you're in law enforcement, the military, a vet, you get a discount. Stop in, say hi, Monticello Pawn and Gun, or up there on Old 8 in New Brighton, dkmags.com. Say it with me, GLers. Get your ass over there. They're waiting for you.
Correct me if... No. We're going to Patrick now?
Yeah, but I got to call him. I just realized that. Hello.
I thought he wanted 12:15 or new. I mean 1:15.
I just texted you that he was ready. I'm sorry. I thought you. Didn't
I'm
see
sorry.
Him.
I'm gotcha. Sorry. No.
Talk amongst yourselves while I get him on the phone.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kenny. Didn't Tim Christopher tell us on the air one time during a visit that he was prepared to offer firearm education to young people in the hopes that he could instill in them the seriousness of what a firearm really is?
I think he would help them get that education.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a qualified instructor, but I know, yeah, that's his deal. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I want to piggyback off Tim's idea when we conclude our segment with Patrick. I have another idea about educating young people in a completely different way that might bring some peace to the urban core.
Is this your skating idea again?
No, no. Boy, if people wanted to let me know about skating, Ottawa has a wonderful skating canal. Probably the Rideau Canal.
Because I think you should do it in the summer for sailing and boating and the like.
Well, you can't sail through the city on a man-made ditch. You'd have to go to lakes and stuff.
Well, I'm not talking.
Oh, Pat, are you there?
Patrick? Yes, Pat is here.
Patrick?
Yes, Joe.
We were, I just did a little eulogy for Hank Aaron.
Very good, but I'm going to sneeze right now. I don't know where that came from.
God bless you.
Hadn't sneezed in days, but yeah, Henry, I'm very upset about this. One reason being, of course, that it's Henry Aaron. Another one being he very publicly took the vaccine about, what, 2 weeks ago to show everybody that it was safe, and now some of the anti-vax people will probably say, see what happened?
Yeah.
Although I'm hearing he had a stroke, so but 86 and you know, Selig really Selig loved him from his Braves days as a fan. You know, Bud was a fan back then, and he really promoted Henry and kept him at his side there for his 20 years as a commissioner, and he really really put Hank back in our consciousness more than he had been, I think. Even though he was the home run record holder, he, you know, he was kind of stuck away down there in Atlanta. And then Bud really brought him back into the public, named the Hank Aaron Award after him as, you know, the best hitter in each league and that stuff. So I'm sure Bud is very upset today.
You want to hear Vin Scully's call? And, Ruck, why am I echoing so drastically?
I do not know.
Okay, but
must
here,
be
Patrick,
the phone line. Okay.
We can play a Vin Scully's call from April 8th, 1974.
Writing's not that easy.
Oh. But it skipped a pen. 3, 2, and 1. Hang on a second. No, it just, we waited so long that it left me. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Here we go. And this is Vin Scully. Okay, Vin Scully.
Well, we're aware of this.
Downing has to ignore the sound effects and stay a professional and pitch his game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. Georgia, what a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south.
Am I still with you, folks?
Yes, you can take it down, Rook. I wanted you to hear Scully say, Pat, this was as recently as 1974, and like me, you'll think that was yesterday. And here's Vince Scully saying, a black man in the deep south getting a standing ovation. My God.
Yeah,
isn't that something?
I was trying to think. Was that when did he hit it? On what day of the week?
It was a week night. I know that
because it was nationally televised.
Yep.
Just because of the fact that Hank was going for the home run.
Well, every Atlanta game was nationally televised until he hit the 715th.
But. Okay. So baseball, I know, obviously, TBS had started up by then, too. I believe we might have cable by then. But it was not on TBS. This was a national a national telecast, and they brought – that must have been CBS, right? Because Vern
– it was. It was CBS.
That was Vin's outlet, yes. And of course, Vin called in that moment, and he was there when was he there for Jackie? It might have been his rookie year when Jackie broke in, too. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, Hank had a bushel basket full of hate mail for breaking the Babe's record. People didn't like that.
And Patty kept that stuff, and he read it and reread it and reread it.
Remember that Sports Illustrated story from, what, 30 years ago?
Yes.
About that?
Yes.
And I thought, Hank, burn it. But I think he wanted to remember. So,
April 8th was a Monday, Pat and Joe.
Okay. And remember, his second wife, I believe it was his second wife, Billy, very active in civil rights. Remember that, Billy? She was an attorney and down there in Georgia, and he kind of jumped on that bandwagon with her, and was very active in the movement back then too. So now, of course, my memory is, and I've repeated this time and again. As a fan, 1965 All-Star Game at Met Stadium, when the National League came to town with the greatest baseball team ever assembled, with Henry Aaron playing left field, I believe, and Willie Mays playing center, Willie Stargell playing right field, and the backup outfield being Roberto Clemente, Frank Robinson, and Billy Williams. That was the backup outfield. You know, you look back at those All-Star rosters, and you can see that, you know, Jackie got it started in the National League. And the National League owners were very much more aggressive in this integration thing than the American Leaguers were. And you could still see that in 1965. I mean, we had Vic Davalillo and Felix Mantilla and guys like that on the All-Star team. They had Ernie Banks at first, Pete Rose at second, Maury Wills, I believe, at shortstop, Dick Allen at third base, and Joe Torre was the catcher on that team, but it's the greatest baseball team ever assembled. Starting pitcher, Marischal, closing pitcher, Gibson, Koufax and Drysdale in between. So,
oh, my word.
God, they were good.
Were you at that game? Were you at that game?
I was. Okay. We had pretty good. The old man finagled pretty good seats, and the American League was getting whipped, and then they scored five runs against Jim Maloney, who was a hard-throwing Cincinnati pitcher, including our very own fat kid hitting a home run that allegedly, the statue in front of Target Field is from the photo that was taken from behind when Harmon hit that home run.
Oh, yeah?
That's the swing. Supposedly, that's where Harmon said they should go find the swing. And, that might be my favorite nickname ever, though. In ball four, we found out that it wasn't Fritz Peterson? Who was it? The teammate of Boughton's who came schlepping into the clubhouse. This was back in the days when the guys played cards in the clubhouse. They didn't even listen on the radio, you know.
Right.
And the guy came schlepping in and said, and Boughton says, "How'd you do, Fritz?" or whatever. And he says, "That a fat kid hit a 3-run homer off me." He always called Harmon the fat kid, you know, that looked like the last guy who'd get taken in a little league pickup game. You know?
Yeah.
The fat kid. He always called him the fat kid.
You know what I love about Patrick? So he names off the starting lineup. I name this guy's stats, do this and that. Then ask him what he had for lunch yesterday, and he'll say, "I have no idea."
Yeah. Well, even worse, I got a worse one. You know, I'm going to the Wild opener tonight, and I need this document to get that they sent me to get in, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I threw it away once this morning when I bundled up my papers and threw them away. And then I printed it out about a half hour ago, and I've managed to lose it since then, so I'm going to have to go back. And I'm out and about with the bride right now, but I'll have to print it out again when I get home, if I remember. Throwing away stuff that I tell myself I have to keep has become problem A. You know?
You're going to see Kirill Kaprizov, but I hear his name pronounced Kaprizov.
Capriz, yeah, they are. Yeah, they don't like the Kaprizov, I guess.
But I've been pronouncing Russian names for 40 years, and it ain't Kaprizov. It's Kaprizov.
But the hockey people are all talking. He must have decided it was Kaprizov, so that's how they're doing it. I mean, it's a Z, too. So, in fact, the first 18 times I wrote it, I think I had an S instead of a Z. But
you are old-time Eastern Bloc. This is New Age Eastern Bloc pronunciation.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing worse, Joe, than the center fielder from the White Sox. Mm-hmm. The rookie center fielder, fantastic, from Cuba, Robert. He calls himself Robert.
Mm-hmm.
After years, after 50 years of training us to say Robert,
right,
he's now Robert.
Right.
And I was listening to a White Sox game in this year, early in the year, and I said, listen to these idiots calling him Robert. And then I found out he wants to be called Rob.
I'm going to have to get to Kaprasov and tell him how to pronounce his own name.
Yes, that's good. That's good. But it is sad. An opener downtown, and they'd have 18,000, and Tommy Reed's would be full, and everybody be excited to see this kid, and people be walking up and down St. Paul having a good old time. And you got to sit home and watch it on TV.
We're going to let 25,000 people into the Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah, well, they're they don't worry about it as much down there in my unadopted home down there. They don't quite worry about it quite as much. Mm-hmm. They got the new strain. What do they care? But they don't. Let's go here.
Well, I'm going to be watching. I want to see this kid play.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And not having FSN these days, this will be my first opportunity. It's all new to me.
Mm-hmm.
You see some highlights now. Every time he scores a goal or does something, somebody tweets out a highlight. So I saw the winner and the winning goal and that thing. But you look at the division they're in. I think we talked about this the other day. You looked at the division they're in. The three California teams are bad. You know, St. Louis should be good. Colorado should be good. But they're top three in the division, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. The new coach, who was the dullest human being that ever lived when he took over, is kind of giving people quips once in a while. Everybody likes him. He's come out of his shell.
Dean Evason? Evason?
Evason.
Yeah.
A very odd story because, you know, he's Boudreaux's guy.
Right.
He came in as an assistant, and he was Boudreaux. No, not Boudreaux's guy. He was Fenton's guy.
Yeah, Fenton's guy.
Fenton made Boudreaux get rid of his assistant to bring this guy in. He was Fenton's guy, and Fenton lasts 11 months, and this guy's now the new coach, and there's got to change. You know, the same thing happened in St. Louis. They fired Yo, and they just kind of had this old defenseman hanging around and thought they'd let him coach out the rest of the year, and he won the cup. So now he gets into Baribi or whatever his name is, gets a 3-year contract. And you never know. Sometimes. Remember Sanmar's quote about the crazy Frenchman Jacques Demers?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 4-year contract and a 2-year act.
That's right. Do we know if Mahomes is going to play?
Yeah, I don't think it's official, but I haven't looked today, but I think he'll play. Don't you? It's a little concussion. What the hell?
I think it's a fascinating question. Do you say to him, you're not playing because we need you for the next 15 years, or the hell with it, you're playing?
No, they can't. I mean, the league has got the concussion people, so you have to get the league. I think Kansas City clearance is not hard, but the league has to get him out of concussion protocol.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to have been an awful concussion. You know, he was walking out of the stadium after the game and quipping on Twitter and things like that. So I think he'll play.
Well, if he plays, I like their chances. If he plays, I like their chances.
Oh, they'll win.
What about Green Bay, Tampa?
Green Bay by 2 touchdowns.
Really? Yeah.
They're going back to the ball, baby.
Yep.
NFC North pride, I always say. We got to be happy for them. We're in the same division, right, Viking fans?
Sure.
Woo-hoo!
Mm-hmm. What are you doing, out running errands?
Every other week, the young ladies who clean the house there show up, right, every other week.
Yep.
And that's when the wife and I spend 2 hours together. And Whoa. Right now she's in a furniture store looking for a some piece of a new chair, I guess.
A new chair.
Gotta we'll get see a chair. How that,
she does not. She does not need me to consult on these issues. You know, she can pretty much make the decision she wants to. So.
Patrick, wouldn't it be easier to just clean the house yourself so you wouldn't have to do that?
You mean not have to spend 2 hours with the wife?
Correct. Correct.
Where's the toilet brush, love?
That's true, but those 20 minutes when you walk in the house and it's clean, it's pretty damn good, you know, because... But that is a thought.
What is the protocol there? What do you say when you leave? Hey, we'll be back in a couple hours. We're going to run up and make some Christmas returns.
We're going to can some apricots.
Prunes now, Kenny.
I'll be anxious to see what you think of this kid. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right. Good enough. See you guys.
Very good.
Thanks, Pat.
Very good. Let's come back with an idea I'm going to play off Tim Christopher.
Ooh, all right then.
Finally, thank God today is Friday. TGTI Friday. The scramble!
I was noting that two juveniles were arrested Wednesday night after one of their vehicles crashed while they were racing in St. Paul.
Yeah.
St. Paul police officers said they were called to the area of Ivy Avenue and Flandreau Street about 6:30 p.m. While officers were en route, they were informed that as many as six kids had run away from the scene. Once they arrived, officers found a 2016 Toyota RAV4 that had been stolen. A witness told police she'd seen two vehicles traveling eastbound at a high rate of speed. Both failed to stop at a stop sign and continued east on Ivy when the RAV4 went off the road near Flandreau, struck a retaining wall and a tree, and then continued east before hitting another tree. The second vehicle stopped briefly before driving away. Police later found two of the kids, an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old, near Ivy and White Bear at a bus stop. When officers approached them, police said the 12-year-old dumped a 40-caliber handgun that turned out to be a BB gun behind a bus bench. The 11-year-old was taken to a hospital for treatment of minor injuries suffered in the crash, and both kids were then taken to the juvenile detention center for stealing a car. Now, Tim Christopher has alluded to the idea that what kids need to put the fear of the Lord in them is the fear of a gun and how serious they are, and I believe he's volunteered to do something about that. My suggestion would be we have repeatedly noted that the kids getting in trouble with stealing cars don't know how to drive a car. They have three strikes against them. They don't understand anything about cars. They can't drive, and apparently they have no one in their life to counsel them about what it is like to drive a car. Although I'm not sure I want to teach 11 and 12-year-olds how to drive.
Absolutely not.
But my point is, these kids have no idea about cars, unlike a previous generation of Americans. Or they have firearms. No idea about guns, like a previous generation of Americans. Yeah. They have no idea what these are. They have no idea.
You know, it's funny you say that because as Gabe just started driving and the process to teach him how to drive takes it's almost 2 years. And then you also talk about guns. We went through the gun safety course together and then before we bought his rifle. And it was a long process. You have to be, you know, I don't remember how long it was, but it was several months of taking the courses.
How often does he shoot? He goes out pheasant hunting once a year or so, doesn't he?
We went down to the South St. Paul. We belong to the South St. Paul Gun Club. So we'll go and shoot skeet targets or that kind of stuff at
because
Clay's.
Because my reason for asking is a lot of gun safety is muscle memory. And you think about it and think about it and think about it every single time you pick a firearm up, and eventually, someday, it becomes natural. But gun safety is not something you can just learn and start doing. It's something you really have to concentrate on. Mm-hmm. It's like I say, when you're running a chainsaw, you just look at the saw, never look away, both hands on the saw, always concentrate on the saw. And it's the same thing with firearms.
So relaxing.
And Such, what really scares me about that story, these kids had a firearm that was a BB gun that looked like a 40 cal, right?
That could get them shot.
Yes, that's very upsetting.
And then
to
in
me.
The news, he was just a 12-year-old, and it was only a BB gun. Why didn't the cops know that?
Yeah, and now we've got a
dead
12-year-old.
How are the cops supposed to know that?
That's exactly what my point is.
Somebody that's defending themselves who has a permit to carry.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That's very
upsetting.
Anyway, the
kids don't know a damn thing about cars, which can be linked to many, many things in this country, and they don't know a damn thing about guns. And it's a crying shame.
And
I'm getting a
probably,
note here.
It was probably just, let's go out for a night of fun. You know, we'll rob somebody, we'll steal a car, we'll race around. And, oh, God.
It's truly unbelievable. And that's, you know, think what you were doing when you were 11 or 12. How
I wasn't stealing a car.
No, that was driving was intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you couldn't do it. It looked like fun, but you knew you couldn't do it.
Right.
Wow.
We tried to reach Reavers for his review of the Town Ball meatloaf from
Gunhamper's
Old Fashioned Meats. And I think what it is, he so thoroughly enjoyed it that he's been napping ever since.
Oh, I bet.
He's got his feet up. He's on the couch with his grin on his face.
Yes.
The meat sweats.
He's napping because Spencer and his team are selling hundreds of pounds of the new Town Ball meatloaf, and they will continue to. They also want to remind you that if you're a soup chef, they've got everything you need to make soup. Rook, they got, what would you need to make soup? They got the bones and the meat.
Oh, yeah,
the,
you got the ham bone for some split pea soup. After you get that double smoked ham, you keep that and you get some ham and split pea soup. And it doesn't look the greatest, but it is delicious.
They also, of course, have the brats for another weekend of grilling because you've got divisional playoff games this Sunday.
Grilling GLers, is year-round, folks, year-round.
GLers grill in any kind of weather, so get the brat. Last night, we had the thick, double-cut smoked bacon that we bought 10 days ago or so. My God, I've never had. I'm not kidding.
Joe, I'm looking at a picture of it because I talked to the CP. We were chatting before.
What
and
bacon?
I said, you have to send me a picture of the final product. And it looks, she did it. She, you know what? She's doing it all right.
Well, she did it rookie style. She put syrup on it or something.
She put it on a little cake pan thing, a parchment paper on top of that for easier cleanup. And lay that bacon down and either put some Mike's hot honey, dribble that over it, or some real maple syrup. Put it in the oven, 350 to 400, depending on your oven. Keep an eye on it because it will crisp it up sooner, and you don't want to dry that stuff out.
It was not crisp. It was chewy.
It was delicious. It looked delicious.
Because of you, that's how my roommate fixed bacon. You're both doing it wrong. Put it in the frying pan. Burn the hell out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
That is perfect bacon.
I got to go with Rook on this one.
This is gold, baby. This is gold. Look at that. Look at that.
Is that the picture from last night?
That's the pic she sent me, yep.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is? Such, that is food porn. That's what that is.
Yes,
man, was that good. Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats, everything you want. The ham, the bacon, the steaks, the brats, the jerky, the seasonings. The new edition is well underway, should be open soon. It's just a fantastic destination. You'll meet a lot of other GLers there. It's Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats at the north end of Hugo on Highway 61.
Don't forget your tagline. Get your ass over
They're waiting for you. They're waiting for you.
I love that.
Sarah wants to know, Rook, I think you boys can all see each other during the show. Probably a dumb question, but can your listeners have access to view you guys online? Maybe you can explain what we're up to.
What she should do is she should subscribe to Garage Logic. Garage Logic has a YouTube page. So if you subscribe to that, you will be able to see snippets of the show. We are not going live on YouTube because that would probably defeat the purpose of having a podcast, because then you would be on YouTube and you would not be listening to the podcast. But you can catch snippets of it if we're ripping Joe or we're talking about the big on-off switch or the big magnet like we were earlier in the podcast. Those are the type of snippets that you might be privy to, but you need to sign up on YouTube and follow, the subscribe to the Garage Logic page on YouTube. That's where you can go.
I'll tell you about a break in the weather for us Royal Order of the 21sters.
Yeah.
Let me give you the exact temperature right now. It is 12 degrees, and yet I'm watching continuous melting as I look out the window here of snow coming off the roof.
Why is
this? So there's power in that sun.
Okay.
There's power in that sun. South facing, and there's power in that sun. Spring is just here. It's here for the 21sters.
You know, even for a non-believer, a non-21st, or a regular person, a normal person, I will say, though, that we have, right now, it's all downhill from here.
Absolutely.
It's getting lighter and later. The temperature, the median temperature is going higher. And I feel if we get socked with a little chill and some snow, we're basically into February already. It's almost happy Valentine's Day.
I do need a new icebreaker upper, and I'm going to go over to Fratelloni's and see what they got.
Oh, you've got that. And to get some grit.
Question for Twitchy
what
one
do you
and
got,
Twitchy
meathead?
Two.
Meathead.
So tomorrow, then, the snow we're going to get tomorrow, that's going to be, you're calling that, what, a spring blizzard? That's what
Yes, it's a spring blizzard.
Okay.
That's what the abnormal people do. I'm a normal person, so I don't call it that. I just call it the middle of winter.
I'll be positioning the snowblower tonight to aim out the door.
Throw in some seafoam.
Yep, I will.
Throw in some seafoam.
I already have it in there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, then you're then
thanks,
you're good.
G. Ellers.
Thank you, Joe. You talked about frats. Yeah, you can get your, why don't you get your propane there for your gas grill and your outdoor heater.
My grill is hooked up right to the house.
You got to love that. You got to love that, Brock. All right, let me just tell you about PodMN. You're looking for other podcasts or you just want to find out and get the Garage Logic podcast and notifications every single day on your smartphone, PodMN. Get the app. Or you can do it on your computer. Subscribe to that, podmn.com. Extremely easy, and it will open up a sea of podcasts for you.
And Kelly in North Carolina, this show should get you through your delivery route.
Yeah, for sure. And don't forget, Garage Logic is available each and every single day you want with all the podcasts we have. Have a great weekend on a Scramble Friday. Roz?